Hello, you're listening to a message from Island Christian Church at the Northport campus. Ordinary people, extraordinary God.
We prayed over Stephen and Lucy because they were going back to Africa, but here they are. And because in between services, it turned out that because of a couple medical things, Stephen couldn't go last week, but he's going this week. And so I said, Stephen, would you preach for us this day? And he's going to do that. And think about this. Amen. Clap. That's a good thing. We're so glad. Our VBS theme is called Roar, and it's set in the continent of Africa. And so that's a connection, because Stephen and Lucy will be heading back to Ghana this week. We don't charge for VBS, but we take an offering every day, and every penny of that offering goes toward our VBS project. And this year, that project is for the children's ministry of Stephen and Lucy at the Living Faith Revival Center in Sahum, and in their church plant that they've just planted in Obuadika. And so we are so blessed that Stephen is here to share the Word of God with us.
Good morning. God is so good. You know, I was struggling with my medications, and they were tossing me up and down, and at a point I was so upset. I didn't know God was setting me up for a time like this. So I got the medication, and all my medical reports are unique. They said, I'm strong and healthy, so it's time to go back. I came to say goodbye to Pastor Mike because somebody invited me to speak in Queens. And he said, oh, I wish you speak this Sunday for us. I said, yes, Pastor Mike. So I called my friend and canceled that appointment. Home sweet home, you know, this is our home. So I'm so happy to be here. It's a great honor, Pastor Mike. Thank you. You know we love you, and you also love us. So thank you so much for this honor. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this moment. Thank you for your word, which is powerful. Your word is like a two-edged sword. Your word is like a hammer that can break every yoke. Thank you that yokes are going to be broken this morning, and you are going to set people free through your word. Glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, our topic this morning is the soul that sins shall die. Or in modern English, it says the soul who sins will die. This is a topic that is very difficult to treat, because in this age, the freedoms we have are so many. Some are backed by laws. So when you are speaking to people, you have to be careful. But you see, the Word of God is so unique that it stands out by itself. If you say, thus says the Lord, no law can come against that. It is God speaking. So he says, we should be careful with the freedoms we are claiming, because whatever you do, there is a price. So the soul that sins shall die. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everybody may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether good or bad. So claim your freedoms, but be aware that in the end, you are going to stand before God to account for everything you did, physically. So be very careful with the freedoms you think you have. Amen. This is not my word. It's the word of God. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, as you remember in the book of Galatians, was very clear in saying that if anybody preaches another gospel, let him be damned. And he repeats it twice. The world is drifting, or the church has been drifting from the truth for so many years. It doesn't come suddenly, so you will know. It's slow, like a boat on the waters, drifting, before you realize you are so many miles away. When I was young, I saw the Lord at the age of 21 in 1978. That makes me a teenager, you know. In those days, people were preaching the kingdom of God and repentance. They were preaching repentance. Actually, when you go to church, you hear testimonies about people's past lives. People cry. They call upon God for salvation. They call upon God for forgiveness. Lord, forgive me for what I did with my body. I remember a lovely lady one Sunday came to church to tell us everything about her life. She was a prostitute. How could you testify if you are not touched by the Spirit of God? This lady went up to become one of the greatest women in Ghana, in the gospel area. There is an organization called Women's Aglow. I don't know if it is popular here. She is one of the leaders. We all got born again in the same time. You see. So, the message of judgment and sin and its consequences should be preached every day and night, because that's the only way we can save lives. The sweet by and by gospel that is being preached, you can get this, you can own a car, you can buy a house, and it's all good, but not the best. So the Bible is warning us not to drift from this gospel of life. The soul who sins shall die. And the book of Jude reminds us that we have to earnestly contend for the faith once for all delivered to us, to the saints. We have to contend for that faith. Who is a contender? How many people love boxing? Oh, you see, a lady loves boxing. I love boxing. I think I would have been heavyweight boxer if I came here early. And I'll be rich. Amen. I love boxing. You hit and they hit you back. And finally, one person stands. So this is the approach to the gospel. Stand firm and contend for the truth. Don't give up. The liars have sweet mouth. They are drifting, you know, deceiving people and causing them to drift from the truth. Actually, when you go to Africa right now, West Africa, Ghana, Nigeria, everybody calls himself prophet. And they have big churches, but no truth. No salvation. So let us contend for that faith that was once delivered to us. Proclaiming, protecting, and defending the gospel is the duty of every preacher and every Christian believer. The message of the second coming of Christ and repentance and salvation has been there so many years. John the Baptist actually said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And what did Jesus also say? Our dear sister Rose brought my attention to that. Jesus also started his ministry with the message of what? Repentance. But you see, it is so difficult. It's like the third rail these days. When you go to some churches, you have to be careful what you say. If you go towards that line, they will not invite you back. But thank God for a great church like this, where we give the true menu that will nourish you to life. So this morning, the Lord wants you to know that one day, besides all the freedoms we are claiming, you are going to stand in the presence of Christ to give account. So be careful. And you know what? The same thing goes with the ministry of Ezekiel and Jeremiah in their days. There was a very, very popular proverb that they learned from the heathen countries where they have been. And this is what they were saying in the days of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 18. Where's my Ezekiel? Yes, it's here. Ezekiel 18, verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, what mean ye? What are you saying? God is asking his people. I believe this was a dialogue between Ezekiel and the elders of Israel. What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth is set on edge. As I live, says the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. Let us go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, 29. Ezekiel was with those who went in exile in Babylon. And all the way in Babylon, instead of repentance, they were all blaming God for their troubles. And then when you go to the northern tribes in Israel, with Jeremiah, they were also saying the same thing. In those days, they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. So you see, no repentance. They sinned against God. Actually, the first time I read about the 10 kingdoms of Israel going into exile, I cried. I said, Lord, but you just saved them. You brought them from slavery. You gave them a land flowing with milk and honey. How come the city of Samaria has become a mixed city? Because they were all taken into slavery. Do you know it continued till recently that Israel became independent in the 40s or, yeah, I think 46 or 48. I cried. I said, no way, Lord, how could this be? But they never learned their lessons. All the blame was, God did it. God is punishing us for the sins of our fathers. It makes God a wicked God. Do you know Adam and Eve did the same thing? So it's human nature. After they sinned against God, God went to them in the garden. Listen to what Adam said. The woman you gave me. Which means God has made a mistake. Eve also said, the serpent, that talking serpent you made. So, my friends, this blame game has been there for centuries. But the Bible is saying that that proverb that we are using to justify our sins shall no more be mentioned in Israel. If you sin, you will die for your own sin. Your children are not going to pay the price for your sin. You bear your own cross. Amen. So let's go on. Verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The children's soul belongs to who? God. The father's souls belong to God. So we are all individuals. If you sin, you die for your sins. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel. Okay. Eating on the mountains means they have forsaken God and they are worshiping idols. So they go to the sacrifices of the idols and they eat and have fun. And when they are in trouble, instead of looking at the mountain from where their help comes, they look at the shrines, the idols. And that's an abomination unto God. Do we have idols today that we look to more than looking to God? Yes, so many distractions. You know. Actually, sometimes I wake up to pray in the morning, then I'm tempted to take my phone. I would go to my Facebook, and before I realize, 40 minutes gone. I said, Lord, 40 minutes? These are 40 precious minutes I could have spent with God. So these are the mountains and the shrines that we have in our homes. Some people's cell phones are so close to their pillows, then they pick it up. So we all have a sleep apnea, or what they call it. We don't sleep. You need to go for the machine because you need to sleep. Amen. You know. Verse 7. Yeah. No, verse 6. We are in verse 6. And hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife. You have not committed adultery with somebody's wife or somebody. Neither hath come near a menstruous woman. This is very serious. If you're a man, be careful, because according to medical science, it breeds disease, all kinds of diseases. So if our wives are in their period, let us go and fast for 7 days, and then we come back and break it nicely, isn't it? Okay, you'll be married one day. Verse 7, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with the garment. He that hath not given forth upon, is it usury? Well, take it from me. That is interest. Interest. Neither hath taken his hand from iniquity. Neither hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity. Hath executed true judgment between man and man. Hath walked in my statutes and hath kept my judgments to deal truly He is just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord God. So if you follow all the statutes, all the commandments of God, and you did not do all these things, the Bible says you will live. And then, the Bible says, if he begets a son, that is a robber, a shedder of blood, who does all these things that his father did not do, if he dies, he will pay for his own sin. He will die in his own sins. His father's righteousness does not cover him. I just want to summarize it. And then after him, the Bible says, if that man who did evil, if his son sees the evil his father did and did not do the same thing and he dies, he will not bear his father's sins. So it's three generations. Grandfather was good, son was bad, grandson was good. So the soul that sinneth, it shall die. There is no blame game anymore. Many people are going through things that they could stand firm and face it themselves and ask God for forgiveness and repentance. But we always look around and blame somebody. I was telling somebody about, I was having pain in my knees. When I went to see the doctor, I had a good treatment. Then I called my cousin. I said, Pat, see what happened to me today. I gave her all the story. Then I said, do you know, in Ghana or in Africa, they would have said, I've been bewitched by somebody. It's just a disease. Satan has nothing to do with it. It's wear and tear. But always we blame the devil for certain things. Please, it is time to face up our own music. Go to the Lord. The Lord Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We are in a period of time where people don't want to hear anything about sin, but sin will kill you. Sin is so sweet, but the after effect, oh my goodness, you wish you didn't do it, but you did it. So you pay the price. So my friends, let us not blame anybody like Adam and Eve did. We live in a big town. Suhum is a fast-growing town in Ghana. It is the stronghold of the Presbyterian Church. And then we have the Baptists, the Methodists, and all the Pentecostals and the prophetic ministries. But when you go to the secondary schools and the primary schools, oh, the fruit from our homes, so sour. The character and disposition of the children, their attitudes, all the principals, they beg me, Reverend Kwachi, please help us. The kids are out of control. Sex and all, every kind of sin is going on. Then I ask myself, but there are churches all over. What are we doing? The Bible says, train up a child the way he should go. And when they grow, they will not depart from it. We have neglected the children. The ministries are concerned with money, 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 so they are dealing with the adults, forgetting that the future depends on the children. Go to Europe. Most of the cathedrals have been bought by Muslims. They turn them into mosques, some into museums. The biggest church in Europe now is Manchester United, Arsenal, and all those big teams. Every Saturday, the stadiums are packed with 90,000, 100,000 people cheering, you know, soccer fans. But where did the faith go? Those were the people who sent missionaries to evangelize the whole world. Now they need to be evangelized. The same thing is maybe happening in America here. Not maybe. The same thing is happening. I work in the school district for 20 years. From kindergarten to 12th grade, no Bible. You won't even find a New Testament. If you dare to preach to somebody's children, that's a summary dismissal. Everybody knows America is a Christian country. But we are drifting. They took prayer away. They took the Bible. And then a seven-year-old go to the school with a gun and we say, oh my God, what happened? What happened? You didn't train him. 13-year-old walking in the night, 2 a.m. What are you doing? 13-year-old boy. 13-year-old girl. Then somebody shoot you. They said, no, he was so good. And what happened? What happened? You didn't train him or her. So they are wild. And I thank God for our VBS that we are training our children the way they should go. Ghana is copying everything you are doing here. When I go back to fix the part of the building meant for the children, every weekend we will serve food to the neighborhood kids as far as they could come. They will come and have a meal. By the way, an average African child eats 2 meals a day, sometimes even 1. So if our church can supplement by giving them lunch or breakfast, that would be very, very great. We will attract most of them to not only give them food, but give them the right food. And then watch them grow in the faith. So my dear friends, let us stand firm to protect our children. Theirs is the future. And for ourselves too, we should know that all the freedoms we are claiming, is good. People march. I saw TV the other day. They were marching and half naked and all colors. And I said, wow, this is true freedom. But one day you stand in front of the judge. You think we have computer? We haven't seen God's computer yet. From the day you were conceived, he said he knew you. When you were being shaped in darkness, God was watching over you. And now you are old, and you say you don't know him. Who knows you? On that day, from all that you did with this, your body will be red. You will see it on the screen, and you will remember when you did it. And you have no time to repent because grace is gone. There is a cutoff period. Who knows there is a cutoff period for grace? The ark of Noah was closed by God. So Noah will not have favor to bring sinners into the ark. The 10 virgins, what happened to them? The door was what? Closed. So grace is today. Tomorrow you'll be standing before him. And he says, the soul that sinneth, he shall die. Amen. I remember, as a young man, I was also wild. We did so many stupid things. I had a nice yellow t-shirt in the front. The front is yellow. The back is dark. I had a nice African mask printed. And then in the back, I wrote Sexy King Douglas. And I was so proud. Anytime I went, hey, Sexy King. I said, yeah. Until one day, I came in contact with Christ. Then I said, oh my Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I threw that t-shirt away. And then I took the name of Jesus. I was so passionate about my salvation. Every time there is church service, I will be the first person there. And I was living with a cousin of mine who is a Freemason or those, you know, people. She hated Christ. She tormented my life. She would insult me, abuse me, do all kinds of things. But the more she did it, the more I went to church. That's how it is to be born again. If you are born again, there is a fire burning in your soul. Oh, man. I remember I had a friend, Ben. I could never sleep. Every 3 a.m. we wake up. Ben and myself sang in the choir. Ben will be singing and I'll be preaching from 3 a.m. till 5 a.m. We preach in the streets. I don't think you can do that in America here. Somebody will shoot you. I will be preaching on top of my voice. Then people will open their windows. You see people turning their lights on. Then they'll be listening to the gospel. Some people will come out and give a donation, even though we were not preaching for that. They said, "Thank you, young man. You have touched my heart." The fire was so strong. My friends, if you haven't experienced this before, pray. Pray and ask the Lord to send his fire into your life. Confess your sins unto him. The Bible says if we say we have not sinned or we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we remember our sins and we confess it unto him, he is righteous. Hallelujah. And gracious and loving to forgive us and also cleanse us. He will clean you from all unrighteousness. So your heart will be enthroned with Christ. Let us see what the book of Romans is saying. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you come to church because of the good music that we have here. You cannot get it from anywhere, so you come. Maybe that's the bait. God has, you know, invited you to come for salvation. Maybe there is a reason for you coming here that we don't know. But God was inviting you and you kept coming. And today is the day that you have to stand up for yourself and say, Lord, save me. And he will save you. He called Abraham. Say, Abraham, go, leave your country, leave your family and go to a place where I will show you. That place will be for you and your descendants. And he was one. And his wife. 25 years he kept believing. And that was counted unto him as righteousness. How long have you waited on the Lord? Have you even started waiting? Your wife is not saved. She'll be saved at a set time. Your husband is not saved. He'll be saved at a set time. Your children are not saved. They'll be saved. All you have to do is to stand in for them. Pray every day. Don't hate them. Love them. When the fullness of time comes, your prayer will be answered. And then you have accomplished your job. Then you can say like Paul, that your job is done. Amen. At this time, the door is open for you to come and seek the Lord. There is power in this house. I have witnessed it for myself. I came here alone in 1999. I'm in this church. This has always been my place. And Pastor Ayers kept preaching the same message, you know, directly to me. And I said, Lord, I give up. I'm not going around, because I used to go, you know, around preaching in churches all over. I said, I will stay here till my time comes. And I kept waiting. And every time we come, they call for prayer, and this is my spot somewhere here. And I would kneel down and pray. I said, Lord, bring my wife. Lord, I'm alone. It's not good for Stephen to be alone. So he brought my wife, Lucy. I said, Lord, bring our son. He brought our son. Then he said, I should go back home. I said, Lord, I'm broke. How can I go back home to preach? Do you know how many people will laugh at me because the things I set up to do, I haven't completed yet. Even my house is not finished yet. He said, go. I came to kneel here. And I prayed. And he opened the door. Now, our ministry is on the path of growth. How can a 2-year-old church own a property? Pastor Mike, have you heard that before? We own a property now that, when fully developed, could house so many ministries. And we are just 2 years. Oh, God is good. It's good to be obedient. It's good to be obedient. If you are hearing his voice today, don't be stiff-necked. Give up. You've been alone too long. You need him by your side. God bless you this morning. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. I pray that you will touch my brothers and sisters who have heard my voice this morning. Lord, you know individual problems, individual needs, individual loads, individual burdens they are carrying. You are the only one who can give them rest. You are the only one who can give them life. So I pray that you will convict our hearts today to give up all the enticements of the devil and then stand perfectly and holy for you, O Lord. May your name be blessed in this house, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Stephen. And you know, what a great message as we go into Vacation Bible School. First of all, we can't give away what we don't have. We don't have it. We can't give it away. And if we had it, we've drifted. Best we get back before we try to speak for the Lord into the life of the children. Right? And what a message, too, about the fact that every generation needs to be reached. We needed to be reached. Somebody did that. And now it's on us to reach that next generation, because the soul that sins will die. And we want to reach that generation, that God's word, God's kingdom will be powerful in the generation to come. And so would you stand as we are closing, and And if you just have said, I've drifted, just speak to the Lord. It's important that you just come back home. As Pastor Stephen said, you've walked alone too long. Come back. And if you have never come to Christ, today can be your day. And there's going to be prayer teams right here at the front that will help you to put your heart right and get right with the Lord. Father, we thank you for this blessed time. And Lord, we thank you for the Word of God, which is a hammer. And Father, thank you for using it on us today to break up the fallow ground. And Lord, to create hearts tender toward you and toward your word. Bless your servant, Stephen, and bless all who hear. Father, cause us to walk in the truth of this message. In Jesus' name, amen.